Hello, friends. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Campbell. It's great to have you here today. We are studying our society article for this month, and we are going to be talking about being kids again. But before we get into our article, let me introduce our friends in the studio. To my left, we have Albert. Albert, welcome to the program.
Hey, friends, and it's always good to be here with Campbell.
Albert, are you a big kid?
At heart?
Yes.
I would like to think so.
Well, it is always fun to be youthful and to be a kid or to be childlike. Not childish, but childlike, right? All right. And we have a very young friend here with us. How are you, Irene?
I'm good.
Irene, what grade are you in right now?
Well, I'm an 11th grader.
Okay, so you're still in high school.
Yes.
That's great, and you're interning here at Studio Classroom.
Yes.
Yeah, so are you having fun so far?
Yeah, I'm having a lot of fun.
Okay, great. Well, it is good. It's going to be good to have kind of a younger person's perspective. Not that you or I are very old, Albert. But, you know, someone in her teens to maybe remind us of what it's like to be a kid, right? Okay, so once again, we are on page 38 of our Advanced magazine, and the title of our article is Being a Kid Again. What are we talking about, Albert? What does it mean to be a kid again?
I feel like when I hear this, I think about how you should be lighthearted, whimsical, take things, you know, just be joyful and happy.
Mm-hmm.
To have no care. Because I feel like as you grow older, you encounter stressful situations, whether it be going through school, going through tests, getting a job, mm-hmm. being at work. You know, these things add on layers right. that just burden your heart or soul a little bit.
Right. Yeah, you know, it's funny. I remember when I was about Irene's age, I couldn't wait to be an adult, right? I couldn't wait to grow up and
uh-huh.
to have a job and to live by myself
wow.
and not have to, you know, have to have listen to my parents and things like that. But now,
right.
a lot of times I miss those days, right? And being a kid again.
Oh, okay. I think for me it's the opposite where I feel like with each passing year I'm grateful. And I don't think I want to go through like elementary, high school, or college again. It was done, you know. It was an experience, but I don't really want to go back.
Oh, don't get me wrong. I don't want to go back to high school.
I do. I don't want to get out of high school.
Yeah, no, I don't want to go back to high school. But, you know, the days where, like you were saying,
mm-hmm.
you don't have as many responsibilities,
okay.
right? You're carefree. You don't have to pay the bills, and you don't have other people depending on you as much, right?
Can I say, and this may be a stretch, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but you have two wonderful daughters.
Yes.
And in a sense, having them and seeing them and, you know, raising them, do you feel like you're being a kid again?
Well, I think I've always, I'm a big kid at heart,
okay.
you said. I'm very childlike.
Okay,
and I want to clarify that. There's a difference being childlike mm-hmm. and childish, right? When you're childish, you're very immature.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're childlike, it just means, like, you have that, you know, that joy or that playful spirit. And
yeah.
I've always been very playful, and I enjoy playing with my children, you know.
Right.
But at the same time, as an adult, you do have your responsibilities that you have to take care of.
I'm curious as to why Irene says that she can't wait to finish high school.
Well, high school is really, really stressful, but so I can't wait to get to college, because I heard college has tons of fun and you make tons of friends.
I think college is really stressful. I guess we'll find out.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think I remember feeling that way, too.
Okay.
You know, I remember feeling like high school was so much work, and I was just really awkward in high school. I didn't have a lot of friends, and so, you know, I remember when I got to college, I made the conscious thought that mm-hmm. I was going to change who I was, and I was going to project a different person, and college was a big shift for me. You know, I became more outgoing, I became a different person, and definitely college was a better experience for me than high school, but I do want to encourage you, Irene, to just enjoy where you are right now. Because, you know, honestly, like, there is stress everywhere you go, you know, throughout life. This is true, you know, because in high school you have your high school stresses. In college you have your college stresses. After that, you have work stresses, you know. And so as we go through life, you know, there are different things that we have, that we'll experience, you know, different stresses that come along.
Right.
But it doesn't have to overcome you and don't have to be something overwhelming.
Right. And I also just want to add that, you know, stress actually makes life exciting. It makes it challenging. It makes it interesting. Mm-hmm. You know, if you have a very non-active, boring life, it's just not colorful, as colorful.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think the key here is to enjoy whatever life stage we're in. But today we are talking about being a kid again. And what we're talking about here is that, you know, there are certain lessons that we learn as young children. Lessons about playing with others and sharing and saying you're sorry. Things that basically I'm teaching my children now, right? But I think as we go older, we kind of forget these things. So it's important to go back sometimes to those lessons and see if we are incorporating those lessons in our daily life. So without further ado, let's get started on our article. We are on page 38. So if you have your Advanced Studio Classroom magazine, please do turn to page 38, or you can join us on your mobile device. And we will start on the left-hand column.
Be a kid again. Reviewing those important lessons from kindergarten. As adults, we should be better at sharing, at cleaning up our own mess, at saying we're sorry. But as adults, we sometimes forget these lessons and constantly need to find ways to remember them, says child and adolescent psychologist D.R.C. Linus, Ph.D., medical editor for kidshealth.org. Get back to the basics with some friendly reminders from Linus and other early childhood experts who offer their own tips to improve your life at any age.
All right, so we're reviewing some important lessons from kindergarten. So once again, the idea here is that when we were in kindergarten, when we were in elementary school, there were lessons that our parents and our teachers taught us. And there's different things that we learned about interacting with others, our peers, and our siblings, right? And sometimes as adults, we forget. So we start our article, and it says, as adults, we should be better at sharing, at cleaning up our own mess, at saying we're sorry. Albert, are you good at these things?
You would think I would be, or that, you know, because these are things that we learned as children, but as an adult, a lot of things get in the way, like pride, the mindset of being right.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel like I apologize as often as I should.
Right.
Right. Saying sorry is kind of difficult for me.
Yeah, and you're a single child, right? So you never really had to share.
Hey, this has nothing... Yes. Yes, it does. It has everything to do with it. I do not share.
Now, Irene, you're not a single child, right?
Yes, I have an older sister.
An older sister. Do you guys share?
Well, yes and no. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, like, we do share, but sometimes we just don't want to give up our own stuff to each other.
Right. I have two young daughters. One is 5 and one is 2. And I think that's one of the biggest lessons they're learning right now. You know, they love each other and they hug each other all the time.
Right.
But when it comes to their toys, man, it's just, they, you know, my oldest is very particular. She likes things a certain way, and especially when she's doing puzzles or she's doing different things. So she does not like when her younger sister comes and messes things up, and so she gets mad, and she won't even let her younger sister touch. But, you know, the younger sister, she is not one to lose. You know, if her older sister won't let her play, she's going to grab that toy and she's going to yank it away from her older sister. And there's this tug of war, which usually ends in my younger daughter biting the older daughter.
Oh.
And, yeah. So, I remember an Advanced article telling us that as parents, we need to let our kids solve their own problems.
Right.
So I kind of gently remind them they have to share, and then I let them hash it out. But yeah, these are lessons we learn as kids, right? How to share, how to clean up our mess. That's another big lesson we're trying to teach our kids.
Right, and I feel like sharing extends into adulthood in the sense of like, oh, I'm not going to give Campbell part of my cookie, but it's more like in terms of being generous mm-hmm. or forgiving right. or letting things go and stuff right. like that.
Yeah, and saying we're sorry, you know, and that's one of the biggest challenges.
Yeah.
I think for kids all the time, you know, Linda, my wife and I, we often talk to our children and our nieces and nephews, and we tell them they have to say sorry. But it is some of the hardest, those are some of the hardest words for people to say, is to say, I'm sorry.
Mm.
And it doesn't get any easier as adults, right?
Does it not?
And that's what our article says. As adults, we sometimes forget these lessons and constantly need to find ways to remember them. So, we're told that we need to get back to the basics. What does it mean to get back to the basics?
To get back to the basics means to start from the simplest and the most important matters after ignoring them for a while.
That's right. So, for example, if you're learning English, the basics would be your ABCs, right?
Mm-hmm.
And how to spell and simple grammar. And, you know, after you've learned a language for a while, you kind of forget to go back to the basics. Or if you're learning how to sing, you need to learn how to breathe and you need to learn how to shape your mouth and things like that. These are the basics. And so you want to go back to the basics, go back to the beginning, the simple lessons, right? And start to revisit these things and incorporate these lessons into your life again. And so we have some basics here, and we hope that they will be a good reminder for you. And as you start to incorporate them into your life, that your lives will improve at any age. So whether you're young, like Irene, or kind of nearing your middle age like me, or older like our parents, we hope that these lessons will help you wherever you are. So let's get into it. Tip number one is say you're sorry. Let's read that together.
Say you're sorry. In my classroom, when someone was upset about someone else's behavior, I would put those two kids together and they would talk about it, recalls Carol Nicoli, president of the California Kindergarten Association. I would make them shake hands, and if they did something to hurt the other, they would say, I'm sorry. I think the fact that others have feelings is something that we need to understand in this world. A real heartfelt apology is about being accountable for my actions, Linus says. It demonstrates self-awareness and empathy. These are skills that improve the workplace because they improve relationships, which improves productivity and individual satisfaction.
Saying you're sorry. All right, so we hear from Carol Nicoli. She's the president of the California Kindergarten Association, and she is a teacher, and she shares with us about how she deals with conflict in her classroom, right? So she says, in her classroom, when someone was upset about someone else's behavior, what would she do?
She would put those kids together, and they would talk about it.
That's right. So she'd make them talk about their conflict, and she would make them shake hands. And if they did something to hurt the other, they would say, I'm sorry. And she says, here's something very important. I think the fact that others have feelings is something that we need to understand in this world. I think sometimes we can forget that other people have feelings as well, and we can be very focused on our own feelings, right?
Or I like to think, like, we're more focused on our hurt
mm-hmm.
at times, you know, because we're hurting and we want the other person to know we're hurting. So instead of apologizing and stepping back or stepping down,
mm-hmm.
we lash out
right.
and inflict more pain.
Right. Because in a way, you're just like, well, I didn't mean to, you know, that's not my, you know, and you
intention,
kind of start defending
right.
yourself
right.
rather than apologizing. You know, I think a lot of times what people don't realize is when you are apologizing for hurting someone, you're not necessarily saying that they're right or wrong.
Hmm.
You're just apologizing for
the mishap.
Yeah. You know, like if I hit you accidentally, I didn't mean to hit you,
hmm.
but I should still apologize that I hurt you. You
right.
know?
It's like a recognition of like, hey, this happened to you.
Yeah.
I realize it.
Yeah. And that was one of the hardest lessons for me growing up, is learning to apologize for something even when I felt like I didn't do anything wrong. Mm-hmm. You know, because it felt like I was acknowledging that I did something wrong when I apologized. But what I'm realizing is that, what I realize is that when I need to say sorry, is just, I'm saying sorry that I hurt you, not necessarily mm-hmm. sorry for what I did, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So we hear from Darcy Linus again here, and Linus says something about a real heartfelt apology. What is a real heartfelt apology about?
A real heartfelt apology is a sincere apology.
That's right. And it's about being accountable for my actions. What does that mean, to be accountable for something, Albert?
To be accountable is to realize and recognize, I feel like,
mm-hmm.
that, hey, I am going to take responsibility and ownership. I'm accountable for the things I do.
Right. Yeah, so a real heartfelt apology means that you're really strong, you're sincere. You're not just saying, oh, sorry, whatever. You know, you really mean what you say, and you are taking accountability for your actions, which, as Albert was saying, you're taking responsibility for what you did.
And I think that's why the teacher, Carol, she makes the kids shake hands. It's mm-hmm. like, hey, realize and look at the other person, and, you know, there's a human connection.
Right. Now, what does a real heartfelt apology demonstrate, Irene?
It demonstrates self-awareness and empathy.
And why are those things so important?
Because they improve relationship, which improves productivity and individual satisfaction.
That's right. So, when we're talking about being self-aware, we're talking about a good knowledge and judgment about yourself. So you are aware of the different abilities that you have, the strengths that you have, the different weaknesses you have, and this is very healthy and very good. And empathy, which just means that you have an ability to share someone else's feelings or experiences by imagining what it would be like to be in their situation. So when you are aware of who you are and what you do, and you are aware of how other people feel, it helps to improve your life and the life of those around you. And so it can create a better environment. You know, and I know that when I'm around people who are very self-aware and have empathy, I feel like they really bring joy and they bring life to me. So I think these are very good skills to have. All right, so our last tip for today is to share. And this is definitely something that we learn as young children, but do we continue to do that as adults? Well, let's read this section here. We are going to start in the middle of the page on line 17.
Share. In the cutthroat atmosphere of some workplaces, people don't feel safe sharing their ideas or expertise, says Jean Mendoza, Ph.D., information specialist at the Clearinghouse on Early Education and Parenting, University of Illinois in Champaign-Urbana. In workplaces, be willing to lend your expertise when asked. Even small acts of generosity can affect the way people feel about coworkers. Sharing is something that kids enjoy when you share your time. Not necessarily your money, Nicole says. I derive pleasure from sharing. I took an hour walk this morning with a next-door neighbor. We walk and talk and share experiences. I learn from her, and she learns from me.
So as children, we're often taught to share. Just like I shared earlier, I spent a lot of time teaching my two daughters to share, that they need to share their toys, and they need to share their food, and they need to play well with one another. They need to share. But as we grow older, we start to develop kind of a mistrust of people in some ways, and because of that, we start shying away from sharing, right? So what does our article tell us about today's atmosphere?
Well, she is talking about a cutthroat atmosphere, which means that not involving considering or worrying about any harm caused to others.
That's right. So in a way, it's very competitive, right?
It is, yeah.
Yeah, so the workplace environment is very competitive. People are trying to get ahead. And because of that, people don't feel safe sharing their ideas or expertise. Why is that, Albert?
Well, I mean, another definition for cutthroat means a murderer that is very violent and vicious. So if your coworkers are cutthroat, or if the competition is cutthroat, you know, you're less inclined to be like, hey, let's be open, share ideas, but then you're afraid that someone else is going to come back and take away your idea or something.
Right, exactly. So in this cutthroat atmosphere, everybody's in competition, so you're kind of afraid that if you give away your idea or you share your expertise, that someone is going to take what they've learned from you and kind of surpass you in a way.
Right, and profit.
Right? Yeah, right. And you might lose out on a job or lose out on some money. And so our tendency is to kind of hold back and kind of keep stuff on our own. But Jean Mendoza, who is a PhD and an information specialist, she encourages us to be willing to lend our expertise when asked, right? And she says something interesting about small acts of generosity. What does she say?
She said that small acts of generosity can affect the way people feel about coworkers.
Yeah. You know, I think we all would love for people to help us, right? If someone offers to help us, especially when we're stuck and we don't know what to do or how to do it, if someone offers to help us, we always would appreciate it.
Right.
But the challenge is, are we willing to help other people?
Right. And I feel like this, like, basic teamwork, this reminds me of a proverb which says, like, if you want to go fast, you know, go by yourself. But if you want to go far, you should, you know, go with other people.
Right.
And work together.
Yeah.
Yeah, and having teamwork goes a long way.
Right. I think the challenge is, you know, overcoming that fear of being taken advantage of, right? You're afraid that if you give out and you're generous, maybe the other person won't reciprocate, you know, and maybe they'll end up getting ahead and you'll end up falling behind, you know. So it's kind of this game you got to play, and you got to learn how to trust people where you help, you know. Maybe you're the first one to take that chance. You're the first one to lend a hand. And in my experience, when you are willing to help and offer your expertise, most people will reciprocate.
Right.
You know? And so in a way, when you help someone, you're inviting others to be more open to helping you.
Right. And I mean, there are also cases where when you help someone and they don't reciprocate by helping you back, but that's okay. I feel like you should just go on and be generous.
Right. You know? That's right. And we hear again from Carol Nicoli here, and she says, sharing is something that kids enjoy when we share our time and not necessarily our money, right? And she derives pleasure from sharing, and she takes long walks with her next door neighbor, and they walk and talk and share experiences, and they learn from each other, which I think is really, really great. So I think it's important to have people in our lives that we feel that we can share with and that we can talk with and gain ideas from. I think we can all gain from having advice from different people. All right, so today we talked about saying you're sorry and sharing. We have three more tips tomorrow, so please do join us. Now, what is one lesson you learned from today's article, Albert?
Saying you're sorry. Although I feel like I'm going to have to learn this over and over again.
Mm-hmm. It's, you know, you're not married yet, but when you're married, you'll learn that saying you're sorry is very important.
Should I just, like, print this out on massive amounts of paper?
Yes, that and honey, you're right. All right, Irene, what is something you learned from today's article?
Well, I think sharing is really important. I mean, I have an older sister, and we do fight all the time. So I feel like sharing and, of course, saying you're sorry will enrich our relationship.
I think that's very true. I think these are lessons that I am currently teaching my children, and I think it's a good reminder for me as I'm teaching them to do these things, to continue to do these things for myself, and to not forget these lessons that we learned as a kid, and not forget these lessons from kindergarten. All right, well, tomorrow we're going to be talking about three other tips. Tip number one is cleaning up after yourself. Lesson number two is balancing your life, and lesson number three is to keep on learning. And we're thankful that you continue to learn with us at Studio Classroom, and we hope that you enjoyed today's article. We'd love to hear from you and hear what you learned from today's article, and if you have some other insights and thoughts about what you think we might be able to bring back into our lives. You know, what lessons did we learn as children that we can apply to our lives again? All right? So please do write to us at letters@studioclassroom.com. As always, remember to check out our QR code at the top of page 38 for some fun features and some review. And come back again tomorrow for day two of this article. Thanks for joining us, friends. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.